Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Show. It's Monday. We are alive. Ryan is still later for him. It's still kind of early for me, but Ryan, welcome in. We're talking Tuesday's four-game slate at DraftKings. Ryan has come off of two Saturday. You just won another King of the Pitch ticket. So congrats on that.
Yeah, thanks. It was wild weekend. Yeah, Saturday started off second in the United and Southampton showdown. So that was nice. That was 1,500. Then I got second in the Tottenham Norwich showdown yesterday for 3,000. I also got third and fifth in that showdown for like another 1,500. So the showdowns went well. Saturday main slate though is, hopefully doesn't sound like I'm complaining about it. It was a nice day, but second in the main slate for 5K and third in the 333. But I didn't have Haaland and I didn't have Sterling. So, you know, it took a second half hat trick from Haaland, second half brace from Sterling, and Chelsea was down to 10 men. And I was still winning the main slate in the 90th minute. And then Anthony Gordon, yellow card, I lost by 0.5 or half a point, I believe. And I also lost the other King of the Pitch. I got second in the $25 King of the Pitch. So it was almost two tickets, but you know, it's tough to complain. Like big weekend and another ticket, but like it was close to my best day ever. I mean, maybe not money wise because of King of the Pitch.
Right.
But anyways, this slate, this is an interesting one. I'm sure we're going to see a bunch of rotation. It's a quick turnaround for these teams. So starting 11s, you know, are up in the air. And then the first sort of thing that stands out is there's not going to be nearly as many goals as the last slate that we had. Mitrovic, it looks like, has the best goal scoring odds, and they're plus 145. So, you know, nothing special for anyone. So 4 points. Maybe more important that happens when there's less goals. Now we have four games, so there's still should be some goals, but yeah, still floor points are going to be more important. Now, where do we go for that? I don't know. Like, we'll get into that, but I guess should we start it forward? Do you have any overall thoughts or what do you think?
Yeah, I'm just looking back at the last time we had a slate like this. This was 2 weekends ago, except it turned out to be that there is actually a bunch of goals, if I'm not mistaken. It was like Fulham against Brentford, Crystal Palace against Villa, Everton, Forest. There's no clean sheets. Leicester City against Southampton.
So
it was, you know, the last slate where we didn't have even a top 10 team kind of a thing, top 6 team, whatever. And it turned out to be there's actually goals. I don't think that's going to happen on this slate. We could just see it. Chelsea are the biggest favorite with the highest implied total at Southampton. Do we believe that? Okay, maybe. But just looking overall general thought on this slate is you just look at these matchups, and I think Southampton are going to play kind of similar to how they did against Manchester United over the weekend. So I don't think like this is like a smash spot really for Chelsea. Andy throwing the way they're playing. With Leeds and Everton, Everton have been playing pretty defensive here. We'll see if Neil Mappe starts for them. Brentford, Crystal Palace, Thomas Frank just said today, he's like, we already know this is going to be a very, you know, tight match. There's not going to be a ton of opportunities for either side. Then I looked at the recent results. Both games are scoreless between those teams last season. So, I mean, he knows what he's talking about. And then you got Fulham and Brighton. Brighton have been, you know, one of the best defenses limiting teams all season. So that's just the kind of overall look on the slate. So it's like, okay, well, play your cash lineup in the GPPs and then just go from there. But the problem is that we don't know who's starting. So I got Eberechi easy on the front cover here of the graphic on YouTube. What if Michael Olise starts? We got a lot of questions. So what are your first thoughts, I guess, in cash games? Zaha, we don't know what's going to happen with him, so it's kind of hard to talk about that. But what's your just first look here?
Like you say, play your cash lineup in GPPs. I mean, I know what you're getting at, and sure, but the cash lineup isn't as cut and dry for this slate, in my opinion. So, like, lineup are you going to play? I don't know. Like, when I look at the slate from a cash perspective, I just want to see if there's like anybody who's a priority. Just overall, you want to get them in there no matter what and move on. Do we have that on this slate? Well, let's just look at the forwards. Like Pascal Gross would be the cash forward in the top range. He's been really good this season. He's played 90 minutes all four games. You know, crazy. He's playing in a more attacking role now. 3 goals already this season. Still, though, now 9,700 is a lot. Away to Fulham is an okay matchup. 9,700 is a lot. I mean, you know, we were just talking about in the last slate, we didn't want to pay 8,800 for Gross. He was home to Leeds. Now, part of that was because, you know, we had Liverpool and City on the slate. I mean, that was a big part of it. But still, 9,700, you know, Pascal Gross isn't a lock by any means for that price. But you can go there if you have the salary. We'll see if there's enough value, but there might not be. Okay, so then after that, you said you might put Eze on the cover. He'd be like the next guy you would go to in cash. Maybe you would start your lineup there. But if Olise is in there, that's going to take half the sets. If Milivojevic is in there, that's going to take maybe all of Eze's corners. I'm not sure because like he hasn't played in a while, but last year Milivojevic was taking corners over Eze. So like Milivojevic is in there. Eze is not even in consideration for cash at 8K. If Will Hughes is in there, then, you know, he would split sets. He would take the left footed ones instead of, you know, like Olise would if he was in there. But anyway, so
what is like, just jumping off that, do your thoughts change? So Eze has been playing, you know, central midfield in the three midfield spots for Crystal Palace when they've gone with the 4-3-3. Mm-hmm. It seems like against better teams, you know, they go 5-4-1 kind of thing. If Zaha's out again, Eze previously, I mean, he didn't really play in the midfield prior to Vieira, I guess. I mean, he's coming off, you know, the Achilles injury and everything. What if Eze moved into that left forward role and took Zaha's spot? Would that change your thoughts? I assume so. At least a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely like him more for tournaments, for GPPs. Yeah. It probably wouldn't change my thoughts for cash, though. For cash, my thoughts would only depend on who else is in the lineup. If it's clear that he's going to be taking set pieces, then yeah, you could start there, like save 1700 and start there instead of Gross. There, one thing's for sure. I looked at the slate a little bit. If you're thinking about playing Gross and Eze, or just in general, spending up twice at forward, I think that's a mistake. There's cheap forwards. There's cheap forwards that are in play, and there's, you're going to need money for defense and maybe money for midfield too. So I don't think you should spend up twice at forward.
Okay. I don't entirely agree with that, but I mean, there's a lot of ways we can go. Obviously the questions
tell me what you think.
Well, just the questions with the starting 11s is we have a lot of things where like we have one guy who could start 8,000, but in the same position, it's like 5,000. Like the Daniel James spot, Daniel James is 5,000. And I currently put in Sinisterra, however you say that guy's name, into the starting 11. He played last week in their cup match, came on for James, man, on the 60th minute over the weekend. He's 7,800. So you just have like this wide range of, you know, you have these forwards that you can spend down on, but I assume now that I'm looking further here, the Southampton forwards are all very cheap. Outside of Shea Adams, like we have, it depends who starts, but I mean, at least one of them is going to start, like Adam Armstrong, Joe Rebo. I mentioned Neil Mape, he's down there, 3,900. If Edouard starts for Crystal Palace, 3,900. But if Mateta starts, you know, he's 6,000. So it's just one of these situations where we can't really decide. If you do want to spend down one of those guys, there's a chance he's not going to start and you're going to change your lineup last minute kind of thing. So I assume you're probably looking at one of those Southampton guys or you're going somewhere else.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I should have said, you know, I was in – might sound sort of like a weird cash play, but I was planning on Mopai. Okay. If Mopai got the start, just because that Everton Leeds game to me is clearly better than the Palace Brentford game and the Fulham Brighton game. At least, like, you know, those are two defenses that make mistakes, allow goals. They don't have the greatest players. They allowed a ton of goals last year. So like 3,900 for Mopai, I know he doesn't have much of a floor, but like neither do those Southampton guys. And if you're going to punt somewhere, like it doesn't hurt to punt a center forward going against Leeds. I mean, you know, this is where like, I don't know if this is, you know, some people might say like it's a bad cash play, like, but as someone who's, you know, I've only played a couple weeks of cash now, but I'm still undefeated. So I would roll with Mopai. I'm pretty sure. And I guess I should just like, should tell people why, like I'm playing Reece James and Chilwell if they're starting on the wings. Like for me, I know I'm just going to skip around, but just, if those guys start on the wings, they're clearly priorities for me. So it's going to mean I'm going to have to punt somewhere else. So that's another reason why I was looking at a cheap forward. But yes, then also Danny James, definitely. Like, you know, Danny James, you know, you were talking about, you don't know if he'll start, but this home to Everton is a pretty good spot. I mean, it's much better than last week when, you know, we were trying to force him in a way to Brighton.
Not you.
Okay. I didn't end up rostering him either, by the way, but you know, we were thinking about it. This is a much better spot. So I wouldn't mind Danny James, at 5K either.
Yeah. If you remember guys, we had the, like,
sorry. If Mopai didn't start and I got like I had the exact lineup I wanted, but the 3,900 forward didn't start, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to rolling with Edouard for the same price if he started.
Yeah, if you remember, we had the Kiefer Moore and Daniel James discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
Kiefer Moore, 6.4 points. He drew two fouls in that 9-0 loss. So that's pretty funny. But
so then there you go. Like, yeah, these $3,900 center forwards, they turn out okay sometimes, and they can score goals.
Yeah, even if Edouard or Mope don't start, like we still have, if Adam Armstrong starts, if Joe Rebo starts, we still have guys down here, at least in case like you're sold on this lineup to where you have a 3K forward in there. There's at least other options. It's not like there's one guy. So that's it. At least something that helps, I guess.
You know, like I guess we could just quickly go through the other teams. Like, where else would you want to go?
That's the thing. Where else would you want to go?
There's no one on Fulham. Like, you know, you're not going to play Mitro, De Cordova Reed. You're not going to do that against Brentford for 5,900. Right. Chelsea, like Kai Havertz, he's cheap enough. Like, he's the totally not a cash play, but like, it might not be the worst thing for 6,700, but like, I don't want to do it. And then Leeds, yeah, Danny James, Everton, you're not going to play these Everton guys in cash. McNeil, like,
Gordon, 7,700,
no sense. I mean, yeah. No, right? So like, you know, I guess Eze and Gross, they could end up standing out as the best two. And like, you know, maybe with rotation, you'll get enough cheap guys to afford it. And, you know, maybe Reese starts in the back three and then you don't want to play him. Yeah. Then you end up spending up twice at forward in cash. So, you know, you see what happens when lineups come out.
I will say that if Damsgaard starts for Brentford, there's a chance. I don't know if I want to use the word you don't be fooled by it, but it seems like he's a guy that will come in and play like 60 or so minutes. He started in the cup match last week. I think he went 60 or 70 minutes. It's just like, okay, here's a 5,400 guy. He could be on set pieces for Brentford, at least split in set pieces, plug him in. I don't like the matchup, and he's not going to go full 90. So I think that if that happens, that'll be something to look out for, but he'll probably get looks as well. Yeah, it's kind of an ugly slate here at forward. If you don't want Gross or Eze, it's like, what do you want?
You know, that makes Gross and Eze look a little bit better, but
yeah, it's almost like
Gross is expensive. That's 9,700 is a lot.
If you don't go with those guys, then yeah, I guess the what is it, the Dinky duo? This is where you dinky twice.
I mean, dude, Pascal Gross is 6,000 more than Mopai, basically. Like, I mean, you know, yeah. That's a big difference. I mean, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, Gross, he's been getting the score sheet a crazy amount in the early season, but that really hasn't been the case for his entire career. So
yeah, and you know, it's weird to see him just going 90 minutes every time. I mean, you know,
yeah, he was actually benched at one point last season. It's something like happened where now he's good friends with Graham Potter, and I don't know.
Yeah, like part of the reason is I'm just weary because of all my experience with Pascal Gross. Like if Graham Potter, you know, came out and said Gross is going to get 90 minutes against Fulham and he's going to take most of the set pieces, you know, I don't know. You can make an argument that he's close to a priority. I guess if you want to roster Gross, or if you're thinking like Gross is a good play, then just roster him because there really isn't much.
Well, I mean, we're talking about that, but he's actually I don't know if he's splitting, but Solomon March is also taking set pieces. Like, we haven't mentioned that, so it's not even like a full on
right, exactly, which is a lot pieces. For 9,700, like for a Brighton player that doesn't even have a monopoly.
Right, it's.
Solly March, yeah, I mean, we'll get to midfield. But, yeah, Solly March has been taking some of the left-footed corners.
Does anything stand out for tournaments just in terms of pricing, guys you want to focus on?
Yeah, Kai Havertz stands out for sure.
I mean, he always stands out. It's just like
now, like, his price has kind of dropped back down again, and – because he hasn't been scoring goals. I don't know. Chelsea haven't been that great. But, you know, Chelsea's the biggest favorite. They have, you know, the highest total. Again, it's under two. I don't know. What was it, like 1.9 or something? Mm-hmm. 1 point. Yeah. But, yeah, he's cheap. I mean, so Havertz stands out for tournaments. I mean, Mopai is the best, you know, the quote-unquote best tournament play on the slate if ownership, you know, wasn't a thing. But he'll be very popular, but I'm still going to play him. Like, it's just too cheap for a guy playing against Leeds.
Do you think people look at Sterling's brace, and even though he's 10.2K, he'll be more popular than you think he is?
Yeah. Sterling's, yeah. That's too much for Sterling, you know? I don't really want to roster Sterling. I would, though, like... You're right. You bring up a good point. I would if other people weren't going to, but I still think people will roster him in tournaments, don't you? There's just not a lot else. I mean, Mitro for 9,400. like, I even think he'll be rostered just a little bit too much. I mean, so like, that's like not normally, I don't normally roster those, you know, like expense, you know, like we talk about Ivan Toney, Jamie Vardy, that type. I mean, Mitro is like a little different because, you know, he's guaranteed 90 and he just shoots all the time and he takes pens. So like, yeah, he's a decent play, but it's too expensive and he'll still get ownership too.
Yeah, 9,400 just for like a match with what, 2.6. Fulham are 1.19 and play goal total, and he's 9,400. That's a lot.
Yeah. And then this guy, I saw you have him in the, you know, in the projected 11, this Deniz Undav for Brighton for 5,700. If he started at center forward over Fulham, I'd take some shots on him, or sorry, over Welbeck against Fulham. I could take some shots on him in tournaments. And yeah, the Palace center forward will be relatively cheap. So I don't know. Yeah, like, what are you looking at?
The thought with Undav here is, so Maupay's gone, obviously. He's out of Everton now. So Danny Welbeck is a guy who has dealt with, you know, constant injuries, it seems like, for many years. I don't think Graham Potter is going to be pushing him to play, you know, start in every match, especially when you got midweek matches. So that's kind of my reasoning there. So I think there's a chance Undav scored in, what, 67 minutes last cup match. So, I mean, it's a shot in the dark kind of for my projections here, but I think it'd be a mistake if he actually starts well back here, because, I mean, we just know he's going to get hurt. So at some point.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Like, these are – like, it's a quick turnaround. Like, ooh, I would expect to see some rotation, but it's been sort of crazy with Brighton. I was going to ask you, like, is Brighton just going to roll out the same line? I mean, you know, they're so hot. They keep winning. Like, it's one of those situations where sometimes you just see the same 11 again, like, you know, so, but yeah, we'll see. The one other thing, you know, just cause we've been talking about a little bit about Ivan Toney each week, this is actually a week where I'm more likely to just to roster him a couple times. And it's because he's not as good of a play on paper, you know, away to Palace and not a very good matchup. And also because he's the same salary as someone who will carry some ownership in Eze. So like, if I have some lineups that, you know, land on 8,000 or maybe some Eze lineups, I would turn them into Ivan Toney lineups. So I think he's an acceptable tournament play this week because he won't be as popular as he normally is.
Yeah, I still not.
Right. I know, like, I don't like, are you going to say you don't like that match at all? I hate that match too.
I mean, you're like, looking at it, it's like, even if he scores, it's going to be like, okay, maybe he'll get 15 points.
That might be enough.
Yeah, it might be enough though on this slate. So.
But no, I don't like it either. I guess you're kind of making my point though in that.
Right.
Like, I sort of like him when he's not a good play, you know?
Yeah, one thing I will say on the short week before we go to midfielders is, so we're on a short week and early in the season we have like new players that, you know, they haven't seen a ton of Premier League, like not regular guys. They come in off the bench kind of a thing. And we may see guys who get starts, and it stood out to me this past weekend where, so Brentford were home against Everton, unexpectedly Pontus Janssen out with an injury, Zanka started. This guy who, you know, he was at Sheffield United, he's been around, whenever he played last season, it didn't result in good things for Brentford. Early on, gave up, you know, Anthony Gordon, breakaway goal kind of a thing. Zanka was out of position, and he's too slow. So that's also why I think Brentford can go back to five in the back, so they don't have to deal with too much Zanka right there. I guess we'll see what happens. Was it Janssen? I don't think we've had their press conference yet. But another thing, like Kenny Tete for Fulham, Kevin Mbabu came on for him late, and I think it was Martinelli was roasting Mbabu late in that match. Like, we just have things where these guys aren't used to the Premier League pace, and on a short week we could have new defenders in here, and I think that'll be something to look out for. I guess also Crystal Palace, Tyreek Mitchell went off against Manchester City, Chris Richards came on for him. Manchester City scored 4 goals after Chris Richards came on. Not to say those things are that much correlated, but Tyreek Mitchell, pretty good left back. Just things to watch out for on a short week. We got new defenders who haven't played in the Premier League before, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So no,
definitely a good point. Like,
that's the kind of thing I want to attack. That's the stuff you'll
be looking for. Look, like part of the reason I can come on this podcast and just for the most part say exactly what I think about everything is because not much really matters until you see the lineups come out. You know, I shouldn't say that, but like, that's when everything changes. That's like when all the decisions are made. That's when you're evaluating like whose spot got better, who's got worse, you know, you're looking at the lineup. So yeah, everything you said, like, absolutely. I'm looking for those things. And yeah, Tyreek Mitchell, he's defensively one of the best left backs in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that stuff affects things a lot.
Right. So midfielder, James Ward-Prowse, I think I overlooked him when I first was going through my first build here, but James Ward-Prowse is 9,000. If you don't go gross, do you plug in Ward-Prowse at midfield? But there's so many midfield options that you kind of don't need to spend up at Ward-Prowse, right?
Right. Like you don't need to, but you still might, I guess, is the best. Like, okay. So if Mason Mount starts for Chelsea, like, I wouldn't want to play Mount. I mean, you look at, you know, he came off at halftime. He's been subbed early in.
He came off because of the red card to Gallagher.
Right. Okay. So, fine. He's still been subbed early in 3 of 4. And he's, like, his role on set pieces is just completely up in the air, like, depending on lineups and formations and all that. So, like, I wouldn't be excited about rostering Mount. Like, he wouldn't be a priority for me, especially if – you know, I want Reece James and Chilwell or Cucurella or who's ever on the left wing. So, you know, Ward-Prowse would stand out up there, but still it's a matchup like against Chelsea. It's not a good spot. Like these spots where Southampton are at home against, you know, like a Chelsea or a Tottenham, one of the maybe not elite teams, but better teams. I feel like people tend to overrate Southampton in these spots. Like it's not a good spot for them, but I don't know, like people, you know, Southampton are a very streaky team and sometimes they surprise the bigger teams. Sometimes they come out on fire at home, you know, Hasenhüttl, he's a good manager for that team and he gets them playing at times. But I think for the most part, people overrate Southampton in these spots. So I don't think like Ward-Prowse is a must at all. Like Chelsea are going to be second best in this match a lot of the time. I mean, don't you think like they're not going to have like too much possession and create too many chances. That's what I think at least. I don't know. Like I could be wrong. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that Southampton are a team where they could just give up 5 goals in this matchup or they could actually put in a good fight.
Yeah, you know, another thing though, if they go down early, which like is good chance of happening, then you get a situation where Ward-Prowse will get there. Like what happened against United even last week. Like that's a line you could see. Like you like Southampton chasing games, like especially at home, like you know, they're going to go down early and then he will get some set pieces. So, you know, I don't know. Like it's not a priority, but you might end up there if there's enough value.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's possibilities. Ziyech starts, you mentioned that 8,700.
Yeah. But... yeah. So like I would have some interest in Ziyech
rather than Mount.
Rather than
Ziyech Mount. Over Pulisic and Mount kind of a thing.
Yeah. Like if Ziyech started, you know, I think I would go to him over Ward-Prowse. I think that's a riskier one though. I'm having flashbacks. We had Southampton and Chelsea slates last year, a couple of them like in a row, and Ward-Prowse and Mount slates. I remember one where they were against each other. Then they were always on the same slate, like every week. Like, you know, I've gotten these spots where I don't roster Mount too. Like I got crushed on them a few times last year. I remember there was a few of these like identical spots where I even said on this podcast, like, no, we don't want to roster Mount. He hasn't been taking sets, like, you know, and then he had a couple of huge games, like hat tricks last year, multiple ones and braces, and like in this sort of spot. So like for tournaments, I feel like people, I would at least think people would be thinking similar to me. So like maybe Mount won't get as much ownership. So I think in tournaments, like, he'd be fine, but I wouldn't roster him in cash games.
Yeah. Someone mentioned in the chat, Ziyech is probably on his way out. So maybe we're just thinking like, too much about it.
Yeah, he is. It doesn't seem like this would be the spot to start him, especially if he's leaving. Yeah. Another expensive attacking player who failed at Chelsea.
So we have these expensive guys, but I guess Jack Harrison's still kind of expensive. So Jack Harrison, 8,300. Andres Pereira, 5,700. Brandon Aaronson, 6,000. If Elise starts, Elisa, 5,900. We have a lot of options, a lot of set piece takers. If you like Jensen, he's 6,100. Am I missing someone who would be popular in cash games?
No, I don't think so. That's the range, like right there. What do you do in that range? Again, Jensen, you know, I think you know my thoughts on him. Like, I think the best thing to say is like, he's an acceptable play.
Actually, I wonder if he's actually not even going to start because he just went 90 minutes. I wonder if it's like, okay, I'll give you 90 minutes, but you're not going to start this next match.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Now that I look.
Yeah. No, I know. I was surprised to see that too. I don't know if he's going to start either, but I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't play him, but he's an acceptable play. Like, if you like him and want to roster him, I guess. Aaronson, I would rather go to Aaronson. I like that matchup, but like, I think Olise or Pereira is where I would go for cash games. I don't know. What about you?
I like Aaronson. I'm all about that Leeds matchup. I think it's a great bounce back spot. Everton, they're putting up fights. I'm not sure if that matters here in this matchup. But Pereira, I don't know. Pereira is kind of a tough one. He's still cheap. He's still cheap for, you know, majority of set pieces and everything. He's going to be popular in cash games because he's only 5,700 and he's home. But just this matchup, and, you know, I guess he has some upside. I mean, we saw what he did against Brentford. I just don't think this is going to be a repeat of that.
I'm glad you brought this up. Like, and I'm not saying like I'm right about this or there's necessarily a right answer, but just let's say Aaronson and Pereira. I mean, in these specific spots, like, I prefer Aaronson too, like, just because of that matchup. Like, in tournaments, I think Aaronson would have a better chance to score assists or, you know, might be involved in more attacking opportunities. But for cash, like, you just play Pereira. Like, he's the set piece taker. He plays, I don't know what he went only 79 last week, but, you know, majority set piece taker, home matchup, pretty cheap. Like, I think it's still like pretty decent value, at least for cash. So I would probably play Pereira in cash. That's just me. He feels safer.
Do you like this 57 Solomon March here? He's kind of, it's been kind of an afterthought, but I mean, you look at what he's done. He's splitting set pieces. 5,400. I mean, depends.
Again, he's playable too. This range, you have like six guys. They're like all the same, honestly. Right. They're like, I guess it's one of the, you can kind of just play who you want. No one really stands out. Again, like, I would go to Pereira over Solly March though. I mean, I would feel like Pereira's taking more, a higher percentage of sets and normally plays more minutes and is playing at home. So like, I just play Pereira in those spots and don't really think about it.
We have Loftus Cheek here. We don't know where he's going to start. There's a chance he's on the outside if Kovacic returns to starting 11. If Kovacic starts next to Jorginho, we could have Loftus Cheek out at wingback again. 4,700, he's always an interesting play. Jorginho continues to drop in price. He will always get some looks because he's on PKs, but he's 4,300. And what else are we doing in cash games here?
Man,
there's a chance Click starts, and I don't know. He might be on PKs for Leeds, so that's going further down.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know. You don't really need to punt midfield. I don't know, like.
Yeah, because you got pretty much the guys we just mentioned.
Yeah, like, it's probably a mistake. Loftus Cheek would be the only one, like, maybe. And I don't know. You got to think we're going to get Reece James on the wing, right? And Loftus Cheek in the center this time? I would think so.
We thought that the past 2 weeks, but
right. But yeah, I don't know. Now with Gallagher out, there's like more of a need there. And honestly, I think Reece James was put in the back three because, you know, last week with Koulibaly out, because I don't know, they need his pace and to deal with like Harvey Barnes and Jamie Vardy. And like in this spot, it just doesn't seem like they really need him. They need his attacking more so, I think. I don't know.
I think that's what the general public thinks, but
Tuchel does weird things.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in that Click play. I mean, he's taken set pieces in the past, at least set pieces from non-corner spots, but it's an interesting consideration there at 3,900. If you like Leeds, this is probably maybe more your utility spot, but
yeah, I think it's probably better for tournaments than cash.
Yeah. This is kind of what we're left with, you know, defensive four game slates. Nothing too much really stands out. Jordan's guy McAllister down here, 5,500.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Defender. So do you think you mentioned defender earlier? Are you going? Is this your three defender slate? I wasn't originally on that, but do you think this is where you play three defenders?
Again, it depends. So if James and Chilwell or Cucurella are on the wing, then I would want to play both of them. So it's those two defenders. And then I don't know. Are we going to get another good one? Maybe. You know, I was just thinking. Little bit more about midfield. If we have all those 5k guys, like five or six guys that are decent plays, right, then there isn't as much of a need for Ward-Prowse. So it's possible that Ward-Prowse would be a mistake, and then, you know, you should probably just use 5k guys, and then that would let you play Pascal Gross. So like you could maybe just play him anyway, even if he's too expensive. You know, when right. you, if a guy's too expensive, but you can just play him anyway, then you and just play him. Like he's a free, you see this situation a lot. Yeah. So
he's a free 10 points and you don't know what else you're getting from the forward. So,
as far as construction goes, so you can just pay for some of those middling midfielders or mid-tier midfielders, the ones you like, and get up to Gross and play the best defenders. That looks like a pretty good strategy too. I don't know. Is there any other defenders besides the Chelsea guys? I'll take a look now, but is there anyone that you were looking at?
Well, I had a lineup built on Saturday around like Reece James playing at wing back, and then it was either Cucurella or Chilwell playing wing back. And I was like, actually, we're going to do a 4-3-3 and mess up everything. And it was just kind of stupid. But I mean, if Reece James, is this more expensive than he was? Yeah, 7,800. This is the most expensive he's been all season. So if he's playing in the back three again, like I can't use him.
No,
starting in the back three at that price, it's just too much. But yeah, there's I think there are guys other than Chelsea. I mean, we'll see if Estupiñán gets another start for Brighton. Plays on the left wing, 5,200. Guy who may not be there for a full 90, we'll see. Tariq Lamptey, again, also Brighton. We saw him play in attacking roles last season, and we'll see how Brighton line up.
Not cash plays.
I mean, I don't think they're the worst, though. I mean, if we get, like, Lamptey, like, if these guys are playing wing back even, I don't think they're
worst. I mean, they get subbed, right? It seems too risky to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short week, so we'll see.
I guess
five subs is kind of
like you would never play a Brighton, one of those Brighton guys in cash over Anthony Robinson just because of price. I mean, like you can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't overpay.
I still think 4,500 is kind of expensive for
Anthony. I'm just saying over anybody, I guess. Okay. I just brought up Anthony Robinson because it was in the same game. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, I guess. But I don't know. There's nothing that warrants paying extra money to get to them, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, you'd be looking
for tournaments. For tournaments, yes.
I think you'd be looking at these guys if James was in a back three and then Loftus-Cheek was wide. So you basically have to choose between Chilwell and Cucurella and then another defender. So it depends on if you want to actually full on punt at your other defender or decide between.
Yeah, I think I would rather just play a midfielder for that 5K price, you know, like all those guys.
Well, just even your second defender, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, second defender, like.
Like if James is in the back three.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then, yeah. You know, that's tough. If James is in the back three, so far, every time he's started in the back three, he's ended up on the wing and ended, you know, so like you could still play him in cash. Like I would be more apt to play him in cash if he started in the back three than play him in tournaments. For tournaments, I would basically almost close to cross him off. But for cash, I still think it's fine just because there's nothing else. And like there's
like, yeah, but do you think like his, I don't know, 8 to 10 point floor, if that is worth it at 8,100?
This is what I'll say. If Reece James comes out in the second half on the wing, I don't want to not have him. That's like, I don't know, like when that happens, when he ends up on the wing and they're attacking in the second half against Southampton and he's like taking the sets and, you know, in the box, taking shots, like I don't want to not have him at that point. So like if I can have him, I'd still play him in cash, especially if Mount didn't start, because then he's taking those sets.
I mean, I agree with that. It's just Chelsea are the biggest favorite. And I mean, you kind of go with that strategy, assuming that Chelsea don't score in the first half and, you know, they're winning as expected kind of thing. Like he's not going to move into that role if they're up, you know, one or two goals in the first half.
Yeah, and like just, you know, we'll see what happens again. Could happen the complete opposite way, but the same as I was saying, people like overrate Southampton in this spot, they will underrate Chelsea a little bit, or they will think like, man, maybe this isn't as good of a spot. Chelsea hasn't been playing that good. Now they're on the road to Southampton. I'm just telling you, more times than not, Chelsea come out and dominate this game. So I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday, but like, that's just what I think.
If we remove the first four games of the season, I think the Chelsea implied total is 2.5, and they'd be incredibly favored on this slate. Everyone would go to Chelsea on this slate if this was the first match of the season.
Right. So, like, I can't tell if you're agreeing with me or not, but, like, there's potential for Chelsea to come out and smash here, or do they suck now? And like, you see that in their low implied total.
I'm kind of scared is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared too. I mean, trust me. Chelsea's one of the most frustrating teams in DFS for me. I mean, I get Chelsea wrong all the time. They let me down all the time. This is a tough slate.
Like, I thought they would do a little more against Leicester. They didn't. They've let everyone down. So,
I mean, against Leicester, they went down to 10 men in like the 20th minute though. And won.
Was it the 20th or like the
maybe
40th?
The 30th minute? It was definitely midway through the first half.
Oh, I guess. Okay. Yeah. 28th. Yeah. Cause Gallagher clipped that guy.
Still, like, not bad to come out and win that game, but
no, 100%.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's what I mean. It was a very small sample. Like, more often than not, Chelsea's going to cruise in this spot.
I also will say, so was that Saturday? Liverpool got 9 goals after that match. So Southampton lost earlier that day to Manchester United. Southampton Twitter account tweeted something at Bournemouth like "Welcome to the club" or something because they allowed 9 goals. Yeah. It's like that is not good karma.
Bad karma, right there. Yeah.
I mean, if there's a team to allow 9 goals on this slate, it's Southampton. So
that's funny.
But okay, so other defending options outside of this Brighton guys, I guess Rico Henry now 5,100. We'll see how much rotation there is. Pascal Strike is now overly expensive here at 4,600.
Right.
On the opposite side, Christensen, 3,500. If you want to spend down, that may be the fullback to look at.
Definitely. Christensen. Like, from a value perspective, Christensen in a plus matchup is the play. Yeah. Like, that would have been a better example. Like, I guess, yeah, like, you couldn't play a Brighton guy over Christensen. Like, again, like, I guess, yeah, you could, I guess, if you
technically you could.
Sure. Okay. You could, but like, not if you're sacrificing anything at all. I mean, anything at all. You have to be not sacrificing at any other position to be able to like use 1,500 more in salary for basically no reason. It's like similar to like that sort of what I was saying about Gross. Like, if you just can't afford Gross because there's enough value, then it doesn't matter if he's overpriced. That's sort of the same thing. Like, you can't be sacrificing in your lineup at other places and then play a random fullback over Christensen. Like,
a random wingback.
Sure, right. I get it. But as a tournament play, a random wingback.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just a big Lamptey fan. I've been his fan since he started coming on.
Oh, I love Lamptey, dude. I would take him at Arsenal. It's crazy that he's not in the side. Yeah, I love Lamptey.
He had like a 9-month hamstring injury and he just hasn't gotten back to where he was. So it's been kind of disappointing.
Oh, I forgot to ask you, who's top of the table?
Is this a trick question? Arsenal?
No. What? Who's top of the table right now?
Arsenal?
Yeah. Arsenal. Okay. Yeah. Let's keep going. No, I was just wondering.
I thought you were trying to play.
No trick question. Just wanted to know who's top of the table right now.
All right. Ask the Arsenal fan on the show.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Other defenders here. Vinagre. There's a chance Ruben Vinagre starts 4,300. Not a cash play or anything, but so Mason Holgate's injured. There's a chance we could see like Mike Alenko move back to a back three, and Vinagre is actually more attacking, I think, than Mike Alenko is. So there's someone to look at that, you know, no one else kind of will, but he's in an attacking position. Not much else. I mean, if do you want to – so you mentioned punting a defender. What is the defender that you want to punt on? Mark Gay here, our guy, 2,600?
No, I don't really want to punt at defender.
Okay, you're still spending up. That,
maybe it was by mistake. Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to for cash games. Just, again, I'm going to go back to the same thing. There's just no need. Like, those are like probably mistakes. Those are more often not mistakes. Like, if you're like punting, so you can get.
Sorry, but no matter where Reece James starts, you're saying you're going to use him in cash games.
Oh man.
Cause that's kind of what you
can't say. So look, you just can't say that without knowing the rest of the lineups. I'm saying there's a chance, there's a chance just because there's 5K value in the midfield and the top plays like Ward-Prowse and Mount or Ward-Prowse and the Chelsea midfielder. Those would be the top plays, you know. They don't look that great. Like you can neither side looks that great. So like, yeah, I don't know. I think you can afford Reece, not sacrifice too much. I don't know if I would. Like it would depend on the other stuff. Yeah, or the other lineups.
It's almost, I think if you want Reece in your lineup, it's almost like you either want a punt defender. I'm trying to say this right, but you basically, if you want Reece in your lineup, you can't have Gross and Eze in your lineup. That's kind of what
right, exactly. So, you know, you're starting to see why I said I thought it was a mistake to spend up at twice at forward. Look, like I might be wrong. And also this was assuming Reece was wing back.
Right.
Maybe if Reece is in the back three, maybe it makes more sense to spend up at forward. Look though, like, and this is where you're gonna, this is me, like, this is totally like how a GPP player would talk, but like I still want to play Neil Mopai over these expensive forwards. That look, Eze is fine and Gross is fine, but they're not like amazing plays or like an amazing price tag. Like they're pretty good plays. Like, yeah, you can go there because there's just not much else. But
you're a big Neil Mopay fan.
No, I'm not. That's what I'm getting. 3,900 for like a pretty good center forward against Leeds is like, it's better than a Chris Wood spot. It's like, you know, we were talking about Solomon Rondon. This is the Solomon Rondon spot, except now you have a guy that's actually good at soccer. You know, like we had these. Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this. Jeez.
Poor Solomon.
Mopay plus 240.
But again, though, I'm like listening to myself talk, and it sounds a bit stupid, like talking about playing a center forward over like clear cash plays in Eze and Gross. Look, I'm like not a cash player. Again, I'm undefeated in cash, but I'm not a cash player.
Okay, there you go.
I'm just telling you what I would do, man. 3,900 for like, I like the guys that come with a little bit of upside. So like, this is a punt. Like here you go.
If Edward starts,
listen, Mopai is the same price as Christensen. So like you want to punt with Christensen and like take your 4 or whatever 5 points, hopefully, or do you want to like punt with Mopai, who might score you 25? Listen, he might score you 25 and you just win. You just win, man. Like, people underrate that so much. Like, I know cash is not about upside, but it doesn't hurt to have a little if you're not like, it's a punt. Like, you just think of it as you're punting any position.
Aren't you scared about the Pascal Gross brace?
Well, I'm more scared. Yeah, Gross is going to be owned and he's been scoring a lot of goals. So I would try to play Gross. Like, I think Gross is probably, again, it depends where Eze lines up and who's in that lineup, but like,
I don't know. So would you go Mopay over Edouard if they both start?
Yeah.
They're both 3,900. Edwards only because home plus 160.
Only because Edward just like never goes past 70 minutes.
Well, do you think Mope is though? He's trained with him for two or three days. I don't
know, but
think
I honestly, 90. Again, like this is where it comes down to matchup. I'd just much rather have the Everton forward against Leeds, I guess.
Away from
it's
home?
It's close. It's close. Look, it's close. It's not like clear cut.
This is like a GPP cash move because I think if Edward starts, people will go to him first because he's home with better goal odds.
What are their goal odds?
For the team or the players?
Oh, Edward's
Edward's plus 160, Mope's plus 240.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm a donkey. I'd play Mopai or over Edward. I don't know. Maybe they're both bad plays. Again, like I don't want to give people bad advice. Like
right.
I'm not a player.
It's mostly built off Palace 1.51 in play go total, Everton 1.22. I mean, that's where those odds come from. So
look, yeah, maybe it's the wrong move, but I would play Mopai and I'll put like a bunch of money behind it. So like, you know, I'll lose too, I guess is the point. I'm not like telling anybody something that I'm not going to do.
Now we know. Goalkeeper, play whoever you want because there could be 8 clean sheets on this slate. What do you think? You're not spending up for Mendy, are you?
No, play whatever keeper you want. I agree. Yeah. Any of these goalkeepers could be like, I don't really want to play Bazuno. I wouldn't play Bazuno, but I'd play anyone else. Cash games, I'm talking. I don't think there's a need to play Bazuno.
Would you play him because he has a cooler name than every other goalkeeper or no?
That's why I would play him in tournaments. That's why I would play him in tournaments.
Good.
I mean, like to talk a little bit more about like what I'm going to do in tournaments. I'll probably have some exposure to this Leeds and Everton match. So I'll probably be playing the keepers from, you know, Brentford, Palace, Fulham, Brighton. Whoever fits in my whoever correlates in my lineup from those teams.
Yeah, really, it's just don't go with.
I wish we had Jordan here because this one's more interesting. Like, I wonder if he would say this is a slate you pay up for Mendy. With clean sheet odds of only 35%, like, and they're close to these other teams, like, I would say no. Like, you know, look, all these clean sheet odds are relatively similar. At least for me, I view those percentages as similar. What, Everton are 20% and all the way up to Chelsea is 35. So everyone's between 20 and 35. I'm not counting Southampton, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he sold me on the spending up for goalkeeper in cash games. And then I was originally on Raya. And then I came to a spot where, like, I had enough money for Ederson. And so it was a 50-50 call between Ederson and Alisson. And obviously I went Ederson. And I think I missed the cut line in cash games by like a point. So.
Oh, man, that's brutal. Oh, man. Yeah, I went Alisson. Yeah, that's
brutal. Yeah. It was just a poor decision by me, I guess. And didn't work out, but
yeah, I see people. Sorry, just people in. I was just reading in the chat, talking about me bragging. Look, I'm joking for the most part. I hope people know, but you know, okay, that's all.
Yeah, honestly, a goalkeeper. There's like, do you want Mendy at 5,700 when his clean sheet odds are 35%? Crystal Palace's clean sheet odds are 33%. There's two other goalkeepers with 30%. They're all right in the same range. So
that tells you all you need to know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, why are you spending up for Mendy?
Tells you that keeper shouldn't be a priority.
I guess Sanchez probably makes the most sense just going off the odds. 5,000, 30%, better clean sheet odds than Leeds. So, yeah, I mean, whatever. It's okay, so what's the play? What's our play this week? Or at least on Tuesday. We got to do another show for Wednesday here. What's the play? Where are the okay, so you think goals are coming from this Leeds-Everton match?
I mean, if I had to pick, if I had to pick one, I would say that, yeah, that match. Oh, I don't know, man. Like, yeah. And again, okay, it depends on the lineups. You know, we got to see the lineups. Like, these matches are all so close that, like, something in lineups may lead you one way if, like, a team rotates a lot. Like, what you were saying, like, so we don't even have the Zaha news, right? Oh, he's been ruled out? Oh, no. No, he hasn't. Okay.
I don't think so, no.
Like, no, like, you could see a full-strength Crystal Palace team. Like, you mentioned, those games were 0-0 last year. But I don't have too much respect for Brentford. You could see Crystal Palace putting some goals past Brentford. You know, Fulham, I don't like Fulham. We know I don't play your favorite line, Adam. I don't play teams against Brighton when they're at home, but now Brighton's on the road, I understand. But Brighton are just, like, better than Fulham. So, like,
I expect
Brighton, though, to, you know, control the possession more and limit chances. And, like, you know, Brighton, for the most part, is a superior team than Fulham. So I don't want to go to Fulham. On the other side of that, Fulham is pretty good defensively, and they have a pretty good team too, and they're, like, pretty good at playing at home, and Brighton aren't, like, a very good goal scoring team. So that game is just, don't want to play that game. I don't want to play that game. So it just, like, leaves you Everton and Leeds as the last one. And, like I mentioned at the start, these are teams that make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've gotten better, but the two not very good defenses, you know, a lot of new players. Like, I see goals happening in that game. And then Chelsea, that's one that's a toss-up. You can see, you know, Chelsea, man, coming out and looking very frustrated, maybe not creating a lot of chances. Tuchel comes out and makes subs, you know. Or you can see Chelsea just blitz them and score three or four. This Chelsea team is unpredictable. They show up when you don't think they will. They flop when you think they're going to smash. So, yeah, it's a tough slate. But in general, you know, I would lean towards the Everton-Leeds match and Chelsea. I mentioned, like, it seems obvious who the plays are, but Kai Havertz is too cheap. I mentioned Neil Mopai is too cheap. I don't know.
Did you catch the majority of the Southampton-Manchester United match by chance?
Yeah.
How did Southampton look? I mean, from what I saw at the end,
they
probably should have gotten a point from it.
No, yeah, definitely. They looked okay at times, and they could have scored. So that's a tough one for me to evaluate because of the opponent, United. Like, United is so tough to, you know, the United team that showed up against Liverpool, I couldn't believe that. And then the one that has shown up a couple other times, you know, so I thought Southampton, I guess, to answer your question, they looked a little better than I thought they would. They created more chances than I thought they would. So, yeah, maybe that bodes better than I'm saying for this match against Chelsea. It wouldn't shock me if they did well either. You know, Chelsea have defenders out. Chelsea's midfield is kind of in shambles. Not shambles, but, you know, they don't have their normal midfield. Kante and Kovacic and no Koulibaly. And so
Koulibaly's back.
Koulibaly's back?
Just a one-match suspension.
Oh, just a one-match. I guess so what I'm saying is, even though I've kind of, you know, been down on Southampton a little or talked down on Southampton a little, I will definitely play those cheap forwards in tournaments. I mean, definitely. Those guys are under 4K. They're going to have chances to score. So you think you can take some shots there?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's difficult. And until we see the starting 11s, we can't dive in maybe as much as we like. Though, we did talk 60 minutes about it. But I think that's good here. I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, there's going to be a lot of rotation, so it's tough to cover stuff without seeing all the lineups.
Right.
But yeah, I think we went over.
Right. There's no. I was going to try and come up with something to have an argument about, like I do with Jordan, but I didn't come up with anything. So maybe tomorrow or whenever we do our next show. But I think for Wednesday slate, I believe we're going to do Wednesday morning for a show.
I can do Wednesday morning.
Okay, cool. And so we'll be back then. We also have later today, me and Chris Owen will be doing Kits and Wagers, which is our betting show. So check that out if you're interested in betting. I actually believe we're talking about the Southampton-Chelsea match, and I don't know what I want to do with that one yet. So we'll see what happens. But Ryan, you can find him at Ryan Belongi. I'm at Rotos Adroik. And if you've been watching on Twitter or on YouTube, we've been using this cheat sheet, and you can get this cheat sheet if you are a subscriber. Rotowire.com/soccer trial, free 10-day trial, no credit card required. Ryan, good luck on the slate. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the lineups. It's these short weeks, especially early in the season. We don't know how much these teams are going to be rotating, that kind of a thing. Makes it interesting and slightly harder to talk about, but we gave some good information here, I'd say. So, but we'll see everyone later in the week for Wednesday slate. But good luck, Ryan, and we'll see you later.
Yep, thanks. Good luck, everybody.